Hi, this is Alan Carrington. I'm from the Centre of Learning and Professional Development at the University of Adelaide. This is another episode of Between the Buttons. I'm at Moodle Moot 2010. I'm with a man who I've wanted to meet face-to-face for close on 10 years, Kurt Bonk, or Professor Curtis Bonk, if we may be more formal. Kurt, you and I have talked online, but it's great to meet you face-to-face.
You know, I remember those email conversations very clearly. So, yeah, you're right. It is great to meet people I talk to virtually. You know, you meet them physically and you form a bond, right?
Yeah, well, that's true, Kurt. And to be honest with you, you've provoked my thinking so much. This morning we've talked about some of the most amazing things. I don't even know where to start. I'm going to try a big picture approach. Kurt, do you think the e-learning is maturing? You know, where are we at in the cycle, and what's the next big thing, the challenge that we got facing us?
So the first thing is e-learning at this pinnacle point? Have we progressed? Where are we at now? And so forth, yeah. Right? You know, what e-learning does that maybe TV didn't do, maybe correspondence didn't do, maybe radio didn't do, maybe other forked audio tapes didn't do. It provides a complete picture of a learning environment. It provides experts when practitioners, when you need them, provides opportunities to explore when you need to, group work when it's available, when it fits your class, discussions online, reading e-books. I mean, the fact of the matter is online provides that and more. It goes, actually extends the class, it enhances the class, it can transform the class, it can be the class. That was maybe not so true of other previous versions of distance learning.
Yep.
So now we are at this point where people say, hey, is this better? Well, there's research showing it's better, blended or fully online.
We're getting our graduates now, aren't we? We've got to have graduates out there in the field. So what are the research saying about that?
We got graduates out in the field who are going back saying, hey, this was an interesting way to learn. And people are not as resistant as they were a year ago because of that.
Just as a year ago.
We've moved from the second stage, that's resistance. First stage is awareness.
Yes.
Then comes resistance, then comes understanding, then comes use.
Yes.
And we're now in stages 3 and 4. Stage 5 is becoming an advocate, and stage 6 is sharing your stuff. So I think we're finally moving to stage 3, and that's an important shift across the world.
Okay, and when that technology is moving so quickly too, I mean, I can remember when we first started discussing things together online, one of the big questions from me to you was about synchronous learning, about virtual classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, which was about, I don't know, 5 or 8 years ago, you started talking about how important synchronous learning. Well, that's come past that now. Where are we now?
You know, you're asking about synchronous 8, 10 years ago, and I've been doing research on synchronous during the last few years. That was the big question maybe for higher ed, tertiary ed, because corporates were doing it, right?
Yes,
so
right.
Today, what is the new big question you're asking me here? And I was responding mobile to most people when they ask me, is it mobile that is the one? I have 10 openers that I've discussed in my World is Open book. Is mobile the key opener? And a lot of people think it is. I'm not so sure anymore. Since my book came out, I thought opener number one, ebooks, was the least important. I thought opener number 5, online portals, was the second least important. But since it came out a year ago, those have been the two most important. But they replicate the face-to-face classroom.
Right.
You know, and we use books and we lecture. That's 1 in 5. Number 9 is mobile learning. I think what is the key thing is the convergence across the technologies and openers. It's not the one opener. It's not the iPad. It's the fact that it's a converging device.
Yes.
It's got books. It's got e-learning. As you point out, 150 e-learning applications. It's a mobile device. It's a gaming tool. You know, it could personalize the learning environment. It cuts across. So I think convergent devices, whether it's a watch like this one, a James Bond kind of watch, or a mobile device like that, that's what's going to change, I think, people's perspectives about the advantages of e-learning. When they have it strapped on their body somewhere, when you have learning attached to you in your Thai class or whatever, it's a different ball game than it was.
Do you think that a graduate out of an e-learning environment is more likely to be lifelong?
Well, that's what we're hearing from high school kids, that those that have had to learn on ships and boats. In fact, we got an interesting case in my book, a 16-year-old learning on a boat ride for 5 months across the Caribbean, went to a high school that wasn't so good, but she had these self-determined learning skills that enabled her to overcome inferior face-to-face teaching.
Yeah, right. And okay, I'm going to put the link to the book on the blog site. Tell me the name of the book.
It's called The World is Open, yep. How Web Technology is Revolutionizing Education. So it really gets at a number of things. First of all, it tries to familiarize people with the emerging technologies that are coming out there and make sense of them in one simple model called We All Learn. The 10 openers spell We All Learn. So it tries to help people.
That was hard work.
Yeah.
Getting that to fit.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that, actually. Okay, so if we're talking about mobile learning, we're talking about lifelong. Are we talking about the quality of the graduate, particularly in the area which is a big one for what we call Group of Eight or the research-based universities? Are we getting good researchers out of these? Is research changing?
Yeah, research has proliferated in this area. The problem is no one person knows everything that's going on. There's no way. No one person knew all of learning research. We've specialized in motivation or in cognition or whatever, and it's difficult for any one person to be the e-learning expert. However, Stanford recently came out with a report that's a meta-analysis of all the research that's been done. Stanford Research Institute, along with the U.S. government, showing that blended is actually the best of the three. Fully online was second best, and face-to-face came in last.
In the last for what?
Just in terms of outcomes, learning outcomes.
Learning outcomes,
you know. And 8 years ago, there wasn't enough research to compare. Now we're at that point where there is.
When we talk to researchers, we talk to people who are just beginning to change, or maybe justice to not a good word, who are changing the way they communicate their research by using online technologies.
Well, there's also new conferences coming out that enable them to share what they've done.
Yes. The whole idea of an online conference is still something we're working on. Yeah. My goodness, I mean, who won't want to go to Hawaii to do a conference?
No, well, virtual Hawaii does exist, you know. Well, I'm helping create a new conference called Global Time. Right. Global Time, Technology, Innovation, Media, and Education, which will be on the web next spring.
How does it work?
Well, that will be invite-only kind of a conference. It won't be a one where you submit proposals to, but it will have guests from around the world who share their research, share their practices, and so forth. They had a trial run of it a year ago. Had hundreds of people show up within a couple of weeks. So we'll see how it goes.
Were time zones an issue?
Yeah, we had people keynoting at around the clock. Every 6 hours was a different keynote.
From a different location.
Sector of the world.
That's what I've been saying. And people say, oh, no, you know, they won't come online at 10 o'clock at night.
People did. They will. In fact, 10 o'clock, you might have more people than you would at 4 in the afternoon because, you know, they're working.
Okay. So what do you want to say to teachers who are just coming out of teachers' qualifications? And how do they get hold of all this?
The problem with teacher qualification, at least in the U.S., is that they're being trained with old productivity tools and not on the Web 2.0.
Yes.
There's a huge gap between what administrators think that they need, what they're actually getting, and what they believe and what they actually need their first year out. So what I would tell teachers, first of all, is to look for a time. Block out 1 hour where you're finding interesting activities for your domain, math, science, chemistry. There's so much out there that's available to augment, enhance, extend your classrooms with technology. Just spend an hour. Don't just add it in because you found it. Secondly, find it that things you can thoughtfully integrate. And only try one or two new things out a semester. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't get too enamored with any one thing, but don't get overwhelmed on the other hand. Be careful about what you do, but be optimistic at the same time. Be energetic about what's possible. Share what you're doing. Cautious optimism, I would say.
Yeah, and one of the big things that we're finding down in Adelaide is how positive the students are.
Mm.
Yeah, the feedback from the students is one of the major drivers.
Well, there you get that. When you get positive feedback from students, that's contagious. That can get parents excited, can get administrators excited, can get teachers excited. And now you have kids sharing what they're doing at end-of-semester events, parent-teacher meetings, all sorts of things. And when that happens, you have a community being built. Yeah. And that's what you want, right?
That's absolutely right. I don't know how to stop this, Kurt. I've enjoyed this thoroughly, but we're going to wrap it up. I've been talking to Professor Curtis Bong from Indiana University. Is that right?
That sure is.
Yeah, got it close. And thank you very much for your time, and hopefully even before Wednesday I might be able to get another one in. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, we'll try and do another one before Wednesday, and people can always catch me at kurt@worldisopen.com. So Kurt with a C, send me a note. Happy to respond to you, and good luck with everybody out there.
Thank you. That's excellent, man.
All right, so we got one.
Give it a go.
Oh, yeah.
We do a second one. I'm sure it will be better than the first.
I'm going to take it upstairs.